Hey there, welcome to the Kwame Adepar podcast, where I'll be sharing insights on surviving the various phases of life as a youth living in Ghana. I am Kwame Adepar, your host.
I really talk about responsibilities, and you know, it's real. I mean, we are all married men and we know how it feels to be responsible for lives. And we've spoken about that. But guys, how does it feel when you're not able to deliver on certain responsibilities? You know, maybe your wife wants something to be done in a certain way, and you know that you do not have the capability to make that happen. Like, how does it feel? And how do you communicate it in a way that it doesn't create tension? Let me start with Ima.
Yeah, that's good. Start with him. That's a hard question.
I was going to say...
Ima is not finishing now, man. We are giving you 10 minutes.
In fact, this is actually... If the question is, how does it feel? It feels terrible.
Yeah.
That's case closed. But I don't think that's what you're doing. I think you're trying to bait us, you know? I don't think you're really asking just like, how does it feel? And you want to leave it there. Yeah. So I will help you. I know that you're going to say, I'm not going to finish soon, but it's fine. It feels terrible. I don't think anyone wants to be there. And the reason is not even just because of being a man. I think that we need to be able to differentiate what is human from what is man. And I don't know why we do that a lot. Perhaps it's just a human thing, but human beings have this tendency of always creating social classes and making something seem as if it is only to them. And so like men will say, it's not easy being a man, like as though it's easy being a woman. It's not easy being a woman. In fact, we could just literally say it's not easy being human, you know, but we do that.
It's not easy being alive, man.
you know, but we like to say that. We like to say it as though there's something that is easy. There's not. And so being able to differentiate this, like this is a human thing. Whenever you are not able to do something that is expected of you, it's terrible. It's a human thing. Yeah. But again, men, mostly because of social expectations, you know, because it's not just about the social responsibility or whatever responsibility we have. It is also because of social expectations. And we live in a social environment. And because of social expectations, a lot of men take this in a very different way and they handle these challenges in a very different way. It could be financial, it could be work, it could be even sexual. And the way men will handle it is always difficult because different, because again, there is this expectation that you have to be this. So it feels terrible, sincerely. But then how do we deal with it? I think that's probably the other part, which is silent in your question.
Yeah.
You know, I mentioned that.
So how do you feel and how do you communicate it in a way that it doesn't create tension in the relationship?
Right. Again, so this is specific to relationships, right? I will say that for me, my understanding of this whole thing, even when it comes to relationship, is in three ways, right? Because before we talk about responsibilities, we can talk about rights, and then we can talk about privileges. Now, these three work together. And even in the law, I mean, if we remember our social study, there's rights, responsibilities, and privileges, or other people will say rights and responsibilities. What it means is that there's some things that by virtue of one, your gender, you know, comes with, and I think they are rights. Again, we are only talking about the responsibility, but embedded in that is right that you have. And these rights are like the freedom that you have or you enjoy by being that. The same thing is true if you are like by virtue of where you were born, you have some rights. You know, someone in the US have some rights that someone in Ghana will not have, at least in US. You wouldn't have it in US, but you can have it in Ghana. Or someone in Ghana will have it. So all those are important. As men, we have to first recognize that we have some right before the responsibility. A lot of times, what I have seen is we give up those rights and still expect to have them. And we can't. And that's hell. I have gone through that. It's like, for instance, I have this freedom to talk to whoever I want to talk to and go wherever I want to go. I have freedom of movement. Yeah. I have, like, apart from the law, I have this freedom that I could do. And then I decide to give up that right and marry. I think that's what you're doing. When you marry, you're taking a responsibility, but you are really giving up your right. And then I do that. And then when I marry, I still want that. I still want to be able to talk to anyone I want to talk to without it affecting the other person. Nah, it's going to affect the other person, you know, because I gave up my right. And I think we need to acknowledge that. It's like being a father. When you decide that I want to give birth, you better be sure that you're giving up a particular right that you could go anywhere and do whatever you want. But now you want to be a father, you can't do that. I have seen a great number of men in our society do that without understanding it. They think, well, I'm a father, so what? You know, I'm a husband, so what? No, that is you giving up some kind of right that you had and you just given, which nobody put a gun on you, by the way. You decided that you're going to marry. And so sometimes I tell some of the people that I mentor that if you decide to marry early, be conscious of the fact that there's this good number of your years of you enjoying that freedom that you're giving up. I married early and I know that. And you all married early and you've given up that right. And so now you have to talk to one woman. You have to be in the bed with one woman. You have to enjoy that one woman, whatever it is. The same is also true for her. And I think that when we come together, that is what creates this responsibility we have, right? After giving up our right. And when I'm not able to make that responsibility, I go back to the very same thing that I have, my right. So even though I have given up some things, I still have the freedom to do some things. And I go back to it. I'm serious. I go back to the freedom of choice that I have. You are not going to make me act another way. You're not going to do it. I already acted the way I acted because of the same right I had. That's why I chose you to marry. And so in marriage, you don't get to make me, for instance, hit you. You don't get to do that. I am very conscious that I still have that. Or you don't get to let me be frustrated and stress me. No, I still have the choice. If I think some things are like too much for me, I take a break. I do that. I just actually came from 1 week break. If I'm tired of work, I do that. No worker, no employer, no whoever you are, you don't get to take that away from me. I have that right to choose. I have the right to determine how I want to go about things. And I have the right to do the way things the way I want to do it. So far as, again, I respect your right, because my freedom ends where your nose begins. So, because I have right, but you also do have right. So when I get there, I say, okay, fine. And that's what I do. Whenever things are overwhelming for me, I take a break. I decide that I still have this going on. I'm not going to let people move me and keep going. You know, I'm not going to let my children stress me. I've decided I'm not, nobody in my house, not that guy. That guy is not going to make me stress. I tell you, like sometimes I tell him that, hey, you know, you're not going to stress me. I'm serious. And the same thing is true for my wife. I'm like, there are some things I've given up, but there's some things I still have. And I go back to it. And I think the last part of it is the privileges that also come. You know, when you marry, there are some things that you enjoy as a married person because there are privileges to some of them. One of the privileges I have as a married person is having someone I can reason with and talk to. It's a privilege that comes with marriage. I mean, those who have decided not to marry, unfortunately, I don't know. Of course, you still have people, but you don't have someone you can trust. You get what I mean? I have that. It's a privilege I enjoy.
24/7. Available for you.
I know I can be vulnerable with my wife and she's not going to use it against me. And I use my privileges. My wife knows it. If I'm tired, I'm going to lie on her laps and I'm just going to say, you know what? I'm tired.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to use those privileges too. I think men have that. We have those privileges. If you are a worker, there's some things you have. Take them. If you have leave, take the leave. Like don't. There are people who never take it. They just stress and stress and stress and stress. No, you have a right to choose. You have a right to say, I'm going on break, go on break. You have a right to say, I'm going to play football, go play football. Like you still have them and enjoy those privileges. And I think that has helped me a lot in a good way.
Right. That's amazing.
I hope I didn't take all your time though.
You did the 10 minutes, man. So yeah, I mean, It's good how you've put it, right? I mean, so it means that as a man, there are rights, responsibilities, and privileges, right? And you should know when to use each of them. And if you are not able to, you know, satisfy all the needs, the feeling is right. Okay, you feel terrible. We all feel terrible if you're unable to do it. But yeah. It doesn't mean you should kill yourself, right? It means you have another opportunity to do the things that will make your family work. And so, Kofi, how has it been for you? I mean, how's the feeling, and how do you, you know, bring the family together even though you're not able to meet some needs in a particular time?
No, I think we need to give ourselves a lot of grace, right? Because at the beginning, we talked about just transitioning. Look, yesterday, years ago, I was a boy, you know, so I just became a man. Like, give me some time. So we need to, like, because again, I think one of you made this point early on. Because of what our culture and society expects of us, we want to become all of it at a go. We have this image of a man, as a conqueror, who has tall, maybe 7 feet, six pack, goes to the farm, hunts,
come on,
kills the lion, brings it. Yeah, that's probably true like 200 years ago. 2024, that's not the case, right? That's not it. So let's give ourselves some grace. We are going to learn. Like, we have a journey to back on. I might not be able to make time for my wife every time she needs me. I'm not saying we should make a habit of it, but that's completely fine, right? As far as I recognize that, and I'm working towards, you know, being there for her, that's really what it is, right? Just continue to get better, continue to just, you know, become a better person. Again, it's terrible. We all know that. But like Ima alluded to, it's not just a man thing. It's a human thing, right? If you feel like you're not meeting everything that you are doing, like that you need to meet, you feel terrible. But let's give ourselves grace, right? That's the first thing that I would say. And then for me, is just, again, back to the image of who a man is, this warrior who goes to kill a lion and bring it, you know, back home. No, that's not what it is. And so we also have to recognize we are a work in progress. As we give ourselves grace, we also need to respect the other person. No, for, like, there are times where I have wrongfully yelled at my son, and I knew that I was wrong. Well, thankful for me, the guy is only 2 years, and so I can apologize to him. He doesn't even know what I'm saying. But I think it's an example for me to recognize that I'm a man, but a human being first, who can also make an error, can do the wrong thing. And if I have to model for my wife and also for my child, then I need to do those things. I need to be able to say, hey, I dropped the ball on this part, right? I need to be able to say that. And if you are like me, if you have a heart like mine, that's not the easiest thing to do. It's not the easiest thing to do at all, to admit to say that I dropped the ball on this occasion. This part could have been better. I completely missed this part, and I am still growing. It's not the easiest thing to do. I think it is a manly thing to do, though.
Yeah.
That's good.
Lovely. Lovely. I love that. Good. I love that. You know, and as you're talking, grace, grace is a big thing. I mean, not Nyame's grace. So we're talking about grace, applying grace to yourself, man. And, you know, there's something I always tell my wife, right? I always tell her there's only a fool who doesn't change his mind. And I always want to have communication discussions with her. Like this year, we decided that we're going to be very intentional about talking to each other. So we have particular Fridays. So we have every 2 weeks, we have like a long conversation, a long check-in on a Friday. But the week before the second week, we just do a short check-in. And we've put it on the calendar throughout the whole year. Guys, we don't do it every other Friday or every Friday. Sometimes we miss out, but we know when we miss out because our calendar shows us. And whenever that we do it, like, we have very in-depth conversations. And I noticed that when she expects something from me and I talk to her about it, she's able to appreciate it better. When she expects something and maybe I'm not able to deliver it, and we have a conversation and we are all able to judge, or like, we all get to understand where we are coming from. And I think that's something that we should do as men. Like, be open for conversations, right? We always, I think society has done us a very great disservice, right? It's like the man should always be right. And for me, I don't subscribe to that. For me, I say, let's have a conversation about it, right? And let's come to a conclusion. And then I noticed that if you're a man, guys, if you're a man and you're constantly making decisions that don't bring the best outcome, it's difficult for your wife to trust you. Isn't it difficult for people to trust? Because I was reading a book on parenting, and the author said that children don't listen to what their parents say. Children listen to the outcome of their parents' decisions. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that to be very true. Because sometimes my father says certain things, and I watch his life, and I see that he's practicing them and it's giving him good results. So it means there's something good to do. And I see some people talk about certain things, they are not even practicing them, and they don't have even fruits to show for it. So then it gets me thinking about the process that they are going through. So, I mean, this managing relationships, managing not able to meet certain expectations is something that's going to happen if you're a man, if you're a human being. It's a human thing. It's going to happen. But for me, just have constant communication and try to bring out the details. Have you noticed how sometimes, you know, even at work, somebody will come and tell you that the people said this. Then say, okay, who are the people? Then just one or two people. Like, out of, let's say, like 50 or 100 people. But
yeah,
like that was the majority. It's just the minority. So sometimes when you go in the details, you realize that, like someone will say, the devil is in the details. Like, that's really true. Have those conversations and go right into the matter and tease out the real issues so that you can have a conversation. But to the next question,
I wanted to say something when about this, okay, this communication thing. When I married, I think that's one of the biggest challenge. And it wasn't because it was difficult to do, but it was because I realized that my first responsibility was not the way I thought my responsibilities were. I thought it was just like, okay, you're a man, you're going to provide, you're going to do this, you know, dad, you know, sexual stuff like that. No, my first responsibility was making sure that my wife understands what I'm saying. And when I realized that, I was like, oh boy, I mean, I have never, ever, ever in my life thought it was a necessary thing, because when I talk, I understand me. And now I have this person who has the way she perceives things, the way she thinks, the way she understands. And I realized my first responsibility was to make sure she understands me. So what I did was I bought a board. I've always had a board in my house. Now I will need to do this on the board and map these things up. I'm not saying people should do that, but I'm just saying from my story that I was like, oh, this was not what I expected at all. And so just to say to you, like, communication, it was very important to realize that that is also part of your responsibility. Yeah.
Yeah. And so into my next question, right? this interesting. You know, how do we prepare ourselves for the responsibilities ahead? Okay. There are a lot of responsibilities. So Kofi spoke about responsibility being in phases. Okay. So let's talk about it like the adulthood, like, let's say after uni, all the responsibilities that come with surviving and living life. How did you really prepare yourself for all these responsibilities that come with living life? I'll start with Kofi.
I didn't. It just happened to me. No, I'm kidding. That's not what happened. Ima has he has a concept or a living, like, what's it called? It's called the effective living guide, right? And I've seen it. I've seen a preview of it. And the first part of that thing talks about how we think of life as being in a certain linear way. So you are born, you go to school for a couple of years, and then you get married and everything, which sort of takes away, intentionality from it. And it takes away even the idea that we have a choice. We do have a choice, right? Like I said at the beginning, you have you have the right to choose what kind of man you want to be. The same also is true that you have the right to choose what kind of responsibilities you have. But in terms of, you know, how do you prepare for it? I think it's just recognizing that you now, all of a sudden, or maybe not all of a sudden, are the individual who is responsible. Like you have to accept those responsibilities to begin with, because for anything that you don't accept, then you don't even actually acknowledge that you own it and then subsequently take any action towards it, right? And so that's the first thing I would say. You have to accept that, okay, I have now become the responsible party for X, Y, and Z, right? That's the first thing. And the second thing is to take a step back and say, okay, where for this particular responsibility that I have, for example, as the head of my family or as a leader of this organization or as a man that wants to form my life, you know, in accordance with what the Bible says, what goal, what vision do I have? Where do I want the family to get to? Where do I want the organization to get to? Where do I want my life to get to in the next 20 years? You have to take that step, that vision step, and say, all right, of course, it will be blurry. You won't have it all crisp, but that's completely fine. So take that step, right? Yeah. So now, first, accept the responsibility. Number two, carve out a vision for whatever responsibility you've accepted now. And then number three is my favorite part. Come back and take the steps. Break it down. These are things we know. It's a crucial part of leadership, right? Break it down and ask yourself, all right, I know what I want my family to be. I know what kind of parent I want to be. I know where I want the organization to go in the next 20, 15 years. But what steps do I need to take on a daily basis? Mm-hmm. And for me, like I said, personally, what I did was to use role models, right? Use mentors, people that who have gone ahead of me, read books and all of that. And this is a term that I use in the corporate world, at least around the circles of people that I have, fail fast, which is because sometimes we are so afraid of trying the thing that we don't even try it at all. But the thing is that if you are actually going to do it, then you must as well do it now. So you do it, you make your mistakes, you learn from them, and you move, because you're going to do it anyways, right? And so fail fast, which means with have a bias for action, be action-oriented, carve out a vision, break it down into smaller chunks, but actually do it. Take that step towards bringing that organization into where it wants to be. Take that step towards becoming the parent you want to be. Do you think it is easy for any one of us to say that I'm going to be a faithful man and defy the status quo that every man cheats? Do you think it's easy? It's not. But you have to take the steps. Yeah. In the scripture, Job said he's made a covenant with his eye that he will not look lastly at a woman or something like that. These are deliberate things that you need to do. And so you need to take the step. Doesn't mean that sometimes, you know, like you will not fail and then you go and look at some woman more than once. Yeah, sometimes you will. But again, now you are able to overcome it, right? And then you do.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the thing. Take the steps. Sometimes we got so locked up into visioning and planning, and we forget that action is what actually brings the results we want or brings the lessons that we get going for. So, like, that's the way that I have gone about it. Just do it. Like, try it. Take that step. Yeah. And if you fail, then you learn from it.
Yeah. Fail fast, just do it. So the effective living, is it a document that can be available to my tribe? I'd like to give it to my audience. If it's for sale, if there's a link, we could just put a link out there. So Nioma, do you have that?
It will be out very soon. It's a system, and then we have a journal too. So it will be out soon, yeah.
Okay. All right. So when it's ready, let me know so I can give it out to my tribe so they can all benefit from it. So yeah, so Nioma, what will be your take on this as well?
Oh, I mean, Penny Janier, Jerry Rianens was, I mean, there's no way I'm going to add to Kofi's point. Kofi is way smarter than I am. So I think he gave a very brilliant submission out there. So I'm not taking this one. You know, but that was smart.
I know you guys were roommates, right?
From high school.
Actually. We've been roommates for a long time.
Wow. Yeah. So I'm sure you guys used to compare notes.
I used to steal from your med's notes. That's what
we were stealing from life, and we are still learning from each other. So we are brothers, actually.
super, man. So I also want to add that I like the part that you said, fail fast, right? And anytime that I think of what prepares us for life, I always think of experiences. And one of the experiences that really prepared me for life was leadership on campus, Legon campus. So I was vice president, Nyama was president in our third to final year, right? And we both served from level 100, and it exposed me to so much. It exposed me to how people think, how people behave under pressure, how to prioritize. Even though I learned the prioritization a bit late, but I think I failed fast, and today is really, really helping me. One of the things that we did on campus, especially when we're in level 400, we're executives of Campus Christian Family, was, Nyama, remember the stayover, right?
Yes.
That stayover, I think we had just come from missions. We just come from missions, and we did a very long stayover. My dad had to actually come and pick me from campus because I was sick. We're not sleeping. Nyama was drilling us, man.
Oh, come on.
And guys, I'm still involved. I'm still involved with campus ministry. And I can still pull out our strategic plan that we did about 6 years ago. I can pull out that strategic plan, and it still makes sense today. Right? You can see blood and toil went into that thing. And sometimes I see the amount of money that we spent about 6 years ago. It's still like relevant money for a campus ministry today. And there are so many things that I learned from that part. So I want to tell people that, see, when you have leadership opportunities, take them. If you have opportunities to learn from people, learn. I'm older than Nyama, right? But
Of course. Both of you are older than me. That's why.
That's funny.
Kofi, you're older than Nyama.
By a couple of days, by like how many days? Let's see. By 11 days.
When I said Penija, I know what I said. He's wiser and smarter and older than I am. So I just follow you guys.
I feel that age should be a limitation for us to learn. We should just look at the great things that people are doing, get the insights, and use it to model our lives. And that's something that I think as men we really need to pick up. Even in the workplace, when I got to understand that thing from campus, I stopped being opinionated. I always wanted to listen to people, let them share their experiences without judgment. And in that way, you get to learn so much from people. And when you are practicing it in other places, nobody knows that you learned it from someone. It looks like that is you. And you're able to score the necessary points that you need for you to grow up. So I think that guys, this podcast is really dedicated to men. We really need to learn from each other. We don't need to fight each other. We don't need to show that we are better than anyone else, okay? For me, even in my marketing journey, I'm a professional marketer, and authenticity is just important to me because people can always see through the paid ads. People can always see through the using brand ambassadors and all those things. But if you sell authenticity, it's so real that it affects their daily life and they're able to connect with you. People want brands that can connect. People want people who they can connect with. So be authentically you. You might not have a car today. You might not have a wife today. You might not have children today. That shouldn't take away your happiness. Your happiness shouldn't be defined by things. Because I noticed that a lot of men, society gives us definition through things. Okay,
right.
This man is a good man because he has a car, he's built a house, he's bought this for his father and all that. But authentically, the people around him, are they as happy as the things that he has? And we hardly want to ask those questions, but like that's the reality, you know. And people are doing so many things, but they're able to masquerade and put something up enough for society to accept them. So today in Africa, anyone can make money by any means, and the person is celebrated, you know? And at the end of the day, they create more harm than the good that they try to put out there. So moving from boys to men, I mean, these are some of the things that I have learned from my transitioning. So guys, I'm going to take your last words. I mean, your concluding words. What has been the lessons that you have learned transitioning from that? You know, we have children, so you know how taking care of children is like, you know, right. They'll be crying, yeah. Stop it, don't do this. And now sometimes I even it's gonna be crazy, eh?
Yeah.
And sometimes I even sit with my father, and we are now having discussions, and sometimes my father is even, he tells me he learns from me. I'm like, wow, how did we get there? You know, guys, how has your transition been? And let me just say this, okay. It's very important that we give people their roses, right? So I'm going to start with Kofi. Kofi was this girl on campus who was very dedicated when it comes to academics. I think Kofi won a very enviable award when he was on campus, had to travel, did so many things, really put University of Ghana on the globe. So if I tell you that these are men who are driven, I mean these are men who are driven. And I'm going to say something. It doesn't make him any better, right? But it just makes not. I'm trying to say that it doesn't. Where he is not a reflection of who he is. Okay, because sometimes
right.
we don't just take definitions from things. But he's working in an enviable place like Microsoft. It's not easy to get into Microsoft because they really need a certain caliber of people. And
yeah,
Kofi is in Microsoft right from Ghana. Okay, Kofi worked with KPMG. That's some enviable
pieces. He's a senior manager, though. You have to add that one in Microsoft. He's not.
He's a senior
he's not,
manager.
He's not just working there.
What are you talking about?
I just want you to know the kind of value that these young men bring to the table, right? And he's married. He has children. He's raising a family, you know. And Nyama K. Emmanuel. Yeah, my dear. Nyama is a special human being.
God gave him double the brain.
I'm telling you, double the brain, you know. And when we completed school, Nyama said he's not going to work for anyone. He started running his own business. Charlie, when we're taking meager salaries, Nyama was doing things, rented a place in a prime area. To run the Grace Life Ministries, and he's been running it since we completed school, and he's doing it. He's pushing the frontier for men, and I want you guys to know that. See, age is just a number. It's not a cliche, really. Age is just a number, and as we've said, you really become a man when you pick up the responsibilities, and these are young men who really picked up their responsibilities early. And the fruits are showing for it, right? The fruits are showing. So, guys, I really hope that you've learned so much from what we have shared. And these are people that you can learn from. They have tried it. They have done it. And it's working, right? We are nowhere close to the end of our lives, right? But so far, what we have done, I think is good. And Kofi, Ima, you guys are doing great. Keep up the good work, keep changing lives, and keep writing the African story. So guys, let me hear from you too. What has been your experience transitioning? I mean, as a closing remarks.
Yeah, I can go first. And in just a few words, that's like, you know, I'm just realizing that it's actually right now, it's past 1 a.m. in Ghana, right?
It's past 1:22
a.m. And you're going to go to work. Yeah, Today's Monday for you. I'm already in Sunday, but you're going to go to work, right? And I think there's no way to bring out a case in point than to use this example just right now. This man believes in what he is doing. We already were on a different recording platform. We were like 25 minutes into it. It got messed up. We took a couple of minutes break, and then he found a different platform. called us back. It's 1 a.m. That's 23 minutes past 1 a.m. He has to wake up, probably has a child crying in the next room and all of that. So, yeah, and we are still on the call, and he's managed to keep his eye open and keep the two of us on this call as well, right? And I think it's, I mean, we can say, we can argue that it's a human thing. Other people can do that. But he's demonstrated the tenacity that it requires to be a man. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy. People take the easy way out. You can spend your life with a bunch of women. You can waste all your life on alcohol. You can waste all your life on things, taking shortcuts and just living your life anyhow. That's the easy stuff. It's already taken by so many things. But the real stuff, the real work, what it requires, like, again, it's not the picture of a big hunter going to bring home the, you know, the lion. No, it's these small things, showing tenacity, being there for setting an example for your spouse and your kids, having your using or taking the opportunity when you have it to mentor other people, like you might be doing with you might not be doing with in Grace Life with a bunch of other people. For me, that's just been the journey, just redefining who a man is, you know, staying away from our culture and thinking it's about the number of women you've cleared. It's not about body count. It's not about body count. It's not those things. It's really, really, really about responsibility and impact and, you know, and the outcomes of our decision and how to live with the consequences of those thereof. And like showing us right now, case in point, be tenacious. Life is going to throw so many things at you, society, our culture, whatever, is going to require so many things of us. But for me, the journey has been, you have to determine, be very clear in your mind, what sort of man do you want to be, and take the steps to become it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super, super. Thank you. Yeah, Ima.
Well, I think it's obvious. For me, people can tell, you two have been one of my... The closest, I guess, I have known Kofi. That's I see people and I see they're different and I see they have a different mind, and I stick with them because I put premium value on my environment. You know, where I stay, who I'm with, I put premium, and I don't waste time. I remember when after school, like 2 years after school, I decided I will marry. My aunties were like, nah, your cousins. I mean, you just, nah. I said, I don't waste time like that. If I think this is the correct person, I'm paying the right price and I'm going to stay with the person. I'm not saying that people should rush, no, but I put premium value on my environment and my associations. Mm-hmm. And it's very obvious. I mean, having you, Dubs, you know, working with me at, you know, CCF, and we've kept that blood, you know. I always say this: your dad is literally my father, you know.
Yeah.
I know he will be watching and said, "This guy, he owes me a visit." So the next time I'm in Canada, I'm coming home, you know. Right? But Dad always says, "Tell it, you know." Daddy says you have to come home. That is Kofi is my son. Thinks Kofi is my blood brother actually, and my mom. Everyone knows. Everyone who is close to me knows that. Kofi is my brother, like everybody knows. Yeah. And that's the thing. I put premium value on environment and association. I think that it is not just me. I think every person who wants to go far has to do that. You have to value great people, you know, and people that everyone is great. But I mean, people who you can tell that they have something you can learn from. Keep them close, cherish those relationships and nurture them. And learn as much as you can, you know, share as much as you can, and just grow. There's no point in competing. There's no, everything I am today is because of my environment. I mean, I think that God put me in, the environment God put me in. Kofi has been with me, and he knows from high school. I've not always been like that. You know, I am always changing and growing. And who I am today will be very different tomorrow, because I'm always trying to be in the environment that ate that growth. And I think people should think about that. People should think about where you are planted. If you want a tree to die, just put it in the wrong place. It will die. If you want a tree to flourish, put it in the right place. The right environment will determine how it flourishes. So if we are going to flourish as men, I think our environment is probably one of the most important things, which includes our association. Yeah. So I can only thank both of you for, you know, my growth and for the things that I'm learning. So, yeah.
Great, 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 great. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for showing up on the Kwabena podcast. And this is something that, an initiative that I'm putting out there in order to help young people survive the vicissitudes of life. And that's all that I want to do, helping young people to live through the various phases of life and for them to succeed. And I think two of you, like, you guys are like great examples, great examples. So to my tribe, I want you to follow Kofi Oponsuman. So his name on LinkedIn is Kofi Oponsuman. Is that the name on LinkedIn? Okay, so Kofi Oponsuman on LinkedIn. So please follow him. Where else are you? Facebook?
Nah, LinkedIn is the only place for guys. If anybody texts me on Facebook, they won't see anything. I'm not there.
Okay, all right. Then also get in touch with Nyama K. Emmanuel. So Nyama K. Emmanuel is servant on Instagram. Yes.
They can visit my website, nkemmanuel.com. Every link will be there.
So nkemmanuel.com. Nyama is a big man, man. He has a website. Come on. Oh,
look at you. Look at you.
So nkemmanuel.com, right?
Yes,
nkemmanuel.com. Okay. Do you guys want to drop maybe your email address? Okay, I'll just drop it in the comments in the bio. I'll drop everything in the bio. They can get access to it. So it will be on Spotify, it will be on Apple Podcasts, and it will be on YouTube. So thank you guys for joining. My love to your families, man. My love to your families. Thank them for allowing you guys to be online for like 2 hours, 20 minutes. God bless you, man.
My wife texted me that the basketball is reaching halftime. So, of course.
Come on. Let me go. Okay, so try this. Thank you very much. And see you in the next episode. Bye for now.